welcome back to another weekly helping of Mint Sauce Chronicles. And today we've got some returning guests, well, part of the crew, really. This is episode 175, can you believe it? I can't believe that we're on 175. But anyway, format is simple. I keep saying this, but people do email me and ask me what the format is. And it's like I'm battering my fucking head against the wall sometimes. But there you go. It's all part of it, isn't it? We do a minimum of 4 shows a month. Members get the full podcast plus downloads. Non-members get part one. And all new shows released on Saturdays. So it doesn't matter if you don't get an email. They're just there on a Saturday. Easy. Simple. But you can sign up and get emails if you really want to. And you get an email release every Saturday. And we also put the first part, or hour one, if you like, on Podomatic, and they distribute it to Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, Google, and if you're from Yorkshire, Tapple as well, Tapple Podcasts. And we also put the first part on Rumble and Odyssey. So, there you go. Thanks for the comments. And Chris, are you still getting DMs? Do you know, I introduced him to DMs the other day, and I never get DMs because I'm not on social media, but he thought they were Doc Martens.
No, I didn't think they were Doc Martens, but I didn't know what the fuck he was talking about.
Well, it used to be a PM. It used to be a PM, didn't it? A private message.
That just wasn't direct enough.
No, now it's a direct DM.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But yeah, anyway. So you've just heard the dulcet tones there of our southern counterparts, way, way, way down at the bottom of England, and from Poole. Do you live in Poole, Andy?
No, mate, I live in the New Forest.
New Forest, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
He's sort of on the border between Dorset and Hampshire, where there's some deep, dark coastal Dorset.
I've camped in the New Forest, I think.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Lovely spot, mate. Lovely spot.
You camp everywhere, Chris. You're very camp. Campus Christmas.
Campus Christian.
Yeah, Campus Christian. This is the new you. In fact, you've got away from that curly look, that Alan Brown Sugar.
Alan Brown Sugar. Yeah. My missus said it looked like. If Alan Sugar and Tom Jones had a child.
With big nostrils.
Yeah, that's what she said.
How long? 2 minutes, 25 seconds into the stream before the nostril joke
we're
came
in,
out.
We're in.
That means we've officially started.
We've officially started. Anyway, we've got Lance and Andy PG from Rise Above, if you didn't know that already, with us. We'd like to thank first all the people that came onto the live event on Saturday. About 100 and, I don't know, so people, 120, something like that, came. They're all staying over in the hotel as well. It was a really good venue, wasn't it, Chris?
Yeah, really good, yeah.
Yeah.
In the same hotel where the talk was?
Yeah, yeah.
That must have been really cool, having everyone stay at the same place.
Right, well, love that. And I were in the bar afterwards till midnight.
Funnily enough, Chris went in the bar.
I bet you were.
how many people were there?
120.
Nice.
That's wicked.
Yeah.
But it was nice, the bar stayed full, and everyone was chatting and changing numbers, and that it was really good.
Mm. Yeah. And some of them, obviously, there were hotels down the road as well, so there were spill-offs, people staying. Mark stayed over as well, Mark Devlin.
Oh, did Mark come up as well?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did he get in on the chat, or was he just sort of mingling?
No, he came. He did a presentation, yeah.
Oh, right, okay. What was Mark's presentation? Because I know he's got a lot of new material.
He's just come back from the States. And he's just been doing
absolutely smashing it.
Yeah,
Devlin is smashing it.
He said, Mark Passett put up a picture of him and Mark Devlin.
Yeah.
Yeah, on a constant world tour, or British tour, or some tour. is Mark at the moment.
He did Australia as well, didn't he? He went to Oz.
Yeah, I think this is why Mark gets so much hate and he gets so many people going for him all the time. I think there are really, honestly, people who are so genuinely jealous of what Mark's achieved. They followed him for a while and now he's put in all of Mark's work is original work and original research, much like yourselves, yeah? He's not cutting and pasting and pastiching other people's work. And now, like we're saying, he's pretty much on a constant world tour.
He's an author, man. He sells books, right? He needs to get around. And due to the content of his books, he needs to, it's good to do presentations.
No, I think, Andy, everyone should strip naked and whip themselves with nettles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever you're into.
If you're a truther, you can't earn money.
Oh, stop saying that.
It is such a dirty word.
It's horrible, isn't it? It's horrible.
It is a dirty word.
It's horrible, isn't it? All these words.
There is nothing left to say, is there?
No, what can you say? What can you call?
Everything's been hijacked.
Yeah, everything's been just stolen, hasn't it? But Yeah.
I'll tell you what, right? They flooded the quote unquote truth movement so much with bullshit that it's just discredited absolutely everything.
Yeah.
There are so many. We were chatting about this before we came.
Yeah.
We can go fucking all guns blazing tonight, can't we?
Of course.
Honestly, the amount of dumb shit I've seen today on social media about St. George's Day and peasants harvesting their own energy, like, regardless if they think they're dropping bombs to people on Facebook, they're just. People's energy is just being fully focused on trying to be the next, trying to get the next thing out to everyone and trying to inform everyone about the next thing instead of getting your own shit.
But also
together.
Now, even good talking points and fair comments have been so overdone. Maybe it's just because we're like these oldies, like post 10K, these old farts that have known about this for
I've
ages.
Got people sending me like, stuff from 15, 20 years ago.
I know.
Oh, cringe.
Yeah, listen to this one. Two of my mates who... he sent me a message just now, actually, and it was of Kate Middleton in the Rosemary's Baby dress.
Yeah.
2018. I said, I saw that in 2018. He said, oh, yeah, Mr. Conspiracy. I said, yeah, but 6 years later. 6 years later.
Yeah. Talk about later, the party. The party's finished. The party's like an old story that people are telling and regurgitating
and
that.
Guys, they are fully stuck in it. They love it. They enjoy it. They enjoy it.
I mean, one of the good parts about that is, although we're getting to hear things 10 times over, is that they are actually waking up.
Yeah. However, I don't think they are.
You think they're stuck, Andy?
I think they're stuck. And I think what's happened is, right, the dark occultists, hats off to them, honestly, the mind controllers are doing
you have to pay them respect, man.
Yeah. They've realised they're in the shit and the truth's getting out about certain things, one or two things, nothing like half the shit I see on Facebook, bullshit and all of it. And now what they're doing, they've flooded the market, essentially, with podcasts, with, you know, people like Joe Rogan and people like that, and people just stuck. That's actually given them an identity of being a conspiracy theorist, and they're so far entrenched in that lifestyle now.
Yeah. I'll give you an example, right?
You've got your Joe Rogans,
and they're not. Yeah, but then Russell that's just Brand, an example. There's people like Russell Brand, but there's loads of them, and they can't move forward, get out of. COVID. They can't get out of COVID.
No, they can't. They're stuck in that one.
They're stuck in COVID.
I think what it is, right. A lot of people, they'll die on one hill, whether it's the kids, whether it's COVID, whatever it is.
Flat Earth.
They'll die on that hill and they'll build a personality around that subject. And that is them. And then what happens is, if you try to have sort of like a reasonable conversation that might be about multiple topics, they'll start pulling you up and saying, well, if you can't accept this ultimate truth that I'm stood here dying on this hill with my sword in the dirt, then you're basically just a fucking shill, and why would I even talk to you? And it's like, what?
But there's a lot of people that are cutting off their nose to spite their face. They're ruining their own lives, their relationships, their family lives, their social life, everything, by just being this, like proud to be divided against the masses.
It's not. I mean, I'm fortunate because I don't go on social media. I'm not on it at all. And we learned from, I suppose, the masters, people who did research, hardcore research. That was who we bought books, watched whatever
before
seminars.
Before memes even existed.
And I told you, I said to you last week after the show, didn't I? I said to you that, because what did we do last week? Thursday night, wasn't it, last week? We did our...
Rockademy,
I said to Lance that people, they might jump on a little tidbit of information, but they might go and look into it or research it. They'll just take it for face value.
Accept it as truth,
not actually do any research themselves.
That's the TikTok world, and
that's what I'm talking about.
It's all to do with the attention span.
Rather than people like, and then they take the piss out of people like Mark Devlin, who's done thousands and thousands of
he's
hours
done multiple
of research.
10Ks.
But,
he's
yeah,
done
multiple 10Ks, written multiple books, done presentations. Like, he's given up his life, same as people like that Robert Seffer. He's putting out videos left, right, and centre. Mark Passio's
another one. Yeah.
About life in general, and like, you know,
he has been for about 10-15 years.
Yeah, I know, but like, you've got to think about it. These people actually research.
And the worst thing is, these people that are stuck on these subjects are not going anywhere, just in their little round rabbit circle.
No.
They're the type of people that will, like you say, point fingers at others that have done all the work, saying they're a shill. They take the piss out of people like David Icke as well.
Yeah.
And I know people don't, some people do think David Icke's a shill. I personally, I've shook the man's hand. I think King David is genuine.
I think
but the thing is, right, if you've actually listened to what King David says.
I've seen him live, actually.
Me too.
I like him. I've got a few of his books. I've always liked him. Yeah.
If you listen to what he says, he's not ever really trying to ram one subject down your throat. He's always trying to move past all the subjects and trying to go to the nature of reality. Yeah. And the amount of work that he's put out, like all of these stalwarts of the golden generation of alternative research, it's thousands and thousands of hours of almost every subject in this entire rabbit sphere.
Don't forget, they didn't have the internet.
No.
Or the internet would have been in its infancy.
They didn't have books and libraries. We've got now.
Books and libraries.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But many a late night.
When you read those David Icke books, you realise that, especially when he's talking about the ancient religions, and this is before I learned about, like, you know, the Sumerian tablets and the Anunnaki and all that kind of stuff, or even who Zachariah Sitchin was. You know, he was going back through the Vedic texts, going back through earlier copies of the Bible and actually piecing together and all this work. And you can't fuck about with that. No. You know, all of his books are properly referenced, and he
and then
really
Jason Arquette comes along with a massive spanner and just crams it right in the work.
But isn't that what research is?
100%.
You pick it up, take it to a place, somebody else picks 100%. It up, takes it to another place. There's no ego attached to it. It should go where it flows. And that's the issue with going back to, sorry, Chris, the meme people where they just get the tidbits, and that's true. You know, the Instagram
society we live in. About David Icke is most people haven't read any of his books. And his first one of his early books, was it The Biggest Secret?
That's one of the greats.
Yeah, and I guarantee most of the people who are taking a piss out of David Icke haven't read any of his books.
No. No. And the detail in there, I mean, it's still a cracking book now, isn't it?
That's one of the ones that I've read, Chris, as well. I think the first one I read was Tales from the Time Loop, which I read not too long after 9/11. Then it was The Biggest Secret. Then Children of the Matrix, which is super metaphysical out there. And then it was one of his latest ones.
That was after ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca. And then one of his latest ones, which was, all of his books are sort of a compendium. They're sort of like a compilation of everything you've learned in all the other books, and plus his latest take, which I always find quite interesting. And the latest one I read was, you know, three times thicker than all the other ones. But I haven't read a David Icke book for over 10 years.
I actually looked a couple of months ago to see when he was doing the tours. He's not for a while.
Yeah.
He's not doing it.
I'm still sort of reverse engineering all the things that I learned in his books and his lectures, because, like I say, there's so many dozens of subjects in there. I don't mind saying that is the foundation of my knowledge from which I speak on today when I speak, you know, a few hours a week on the internet.
Yeah, for
you know,
sure.
We're not doing the kind of work that he's doing. Let's not pretend that we are. But, you know, we speak for 3 or 4 hours a week on the internet. And, you know, we like...
Say hello, Lance. I mean, you've got to do yourself justice, because although you say you're not doing the kind of work he's doing, I would say the people who have just taken podcasting, I won't say, we've been at it now 4 years, haven't we? But probably around the same time. But we've taken it we've picked the ball up and taken it in a different direction. I would say the Mark Passios, the David Icke's and people like that, and the old, I'll call them the old guard for want of a better phrase, they were the ones trying to wake people up constantly. Yeah. We don't try and wake people up now. We don't give a shit.
I've had enough of it.
That's a very interesting point, actually. Yeah, because in a way, you know, that's one thing that's definitely a big synergy between us guys, is that we've all sort of agreed now that it's not about waking people up anymore.
No.
We're an alternative.
Yes.
We're an alternative media station.
Niche, we're basically niche within alternative media.
We're a talk show, basically, like a Friday night entertainment show.
Well, that's the thing. I've always said that's the direction which, when we did the Rajender 2033, how long ago was that? 18 months ago?
Yeah.
We made a very clear point that was where we wanted to take the direction of the show, because that's when we started to get a little bit disenfranchised with what was going on with people who were calling themselves truthers or calling themselves awake.
Otherwise, as well, it's just fucking negative.
Well, that's what
it's
I was going to say. The most important thing to realise is that if you are taking the psychological attacks and the fear programming, and all you're doing is sort of amplifying it and relaying it to people in its purest form, then you're doing the work of the parasite for them.
For sure.
Yes.
So that's why we made the sort of really conscious decision to sort of breach into the more entertainment side of it. And I'm really pleased with the mix we've got now of the really deep, hard-hitting information with the humour, with the music and all the graphics and everything. You know, and I'm not going to lie, that's been a very conscious decision, because we wanted to set ourselves apart, you know, from people who were just giving you the Doom programming every week. You know, you guys do the exactly the same thing, but you do it in a different way. Yeah. You do it with your you know, your northern tones and your colloquial chit-chat, and you've got your own whole set, you know, you've got your own lingo like we have, and it obviously it's merged together. And that's why, yeah, you know, I always look forward to these chats, because I feel like I can not look at the screen anymore, not think about producing a show, and just fucking talk. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like going to the pub, chatting with some friends.
Yeah, you two are basically my therapist, yeah, by the way.
the weekend, I noticed someone asked me who you think is a shill. And I said, you know what? Can't really bother wasting my energy. If I don't like someone, I should stop watching them. Because yeah, I've noticed a lot of shows. I listen, they'll spend all shows talking about who's this and who's that. Like I said, it's just a negative waste of energy.
I don't even like the term of shill anymore, because what it means is people that are taking a shilling.
Yeah.
Well, mate, for me, I would rather say that person seems dodgy. Do you know what I mean? I don't need to know who's paying.
Do you remember where all this
I judge
came
on
from?
On the feeling and the energy and the vibe.
Do you remember where all this came from? What's his name?
Who?
What's that fucking dude's name?
Oh, Mark Windows.
No. Way before that, back when he was identified.
I know his name.
We're going to end up doing what I just said.
No. This is where it came from.
John. What's
John? Yeah.
John. No, John. Something.
Overkill.
John Overkill. And he was saying everyone in.
And then we named John Overshill because he was identifying shills, but then he started calling us shills, and literally everyone. And then everyone started calling everyone shills, and it all came from that.
Well, he was concentrating a lot on the anti-lockdown movement.
And Antifa and people like that, and Agent Provocateur. I'm not going to lie. He pointed out
some very obvious dodgy characters that were at every single protest, right? But then what happened was he sort of made this position where anyone that goes to an anti-lockdown protest is basically a paid government agent by default. And he was pushing that hard.
My missus took her daughter to multiple protests. No one's paying them anything.
Well, Richard Ryder and his missus Amelia, they went to a couple of the protests and they were wearing like jumpsuits with something written on the back. I can't remember. But he made a whole video about them.
Means by default, Dom and Chris are shills because somebody held up a sheep farm flag.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Glastonbury, yeah, they're on the screen, they're shills too.
Yeah, we paid them to do it. And then MI6 paid us.
With your Tavistock money. The funniest one is when people still to this day accuse me of being related to Rupert Murdoch.
Oh, that's great.
Because my surname is Murdoch. I was like, listen, I know we've got a nice studio, but if I was related to Rupert Murdoch, it would look much better than this. Yeah,
it might be in Canary Wharf or something like that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It wouldn't be in the spare room in my house.
Full camera crew, everything.
We're still using webcams. We would have like proper, like, you know,
I wouldn't be skinning up my own joints off camera.
No.
I have someone to bring them to me.
Some peasant skinning up for sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. Speaking of nutters in the truth scene.
Speaking of peasants.
I'm going to give you a little spoiler for tomorrow night's customer services.
Excellent.
I won't show it now. I'll wait till tomorrow night to show
tomorrow
it.
Tomorrow night? Friday night.
Sorry, Friday night. I thought it was Thursday. There's this woman called Jeanette Archer. And she is a professional anti-SRA truther, and she claims to have been a victim of SRA herself.
Very serious subject.
Yeah, very serious subject. And this is the worst thing. There are people in that sphere who are literally just liars who make it all up for attention. Imagine making up a lie that you were satanically ritually abused. Now, this woman was working with Joe Ward. You know Joe Ward that we've done on the show?
I saw his Facebook post.
Yes. That's the woman I'm talking about. Now, I've got a video that she made, an hour-long video, and I'm going to show it on Friday. 46 minutes in, she's talking about Joe Ward and slating him because he basically realised that she was full of shit and making things up. So he's like, because he's a genuine child abuse campaigner. So he distanced himself from this woman, Jeanette Archer, who makes videos three or four times a day. She told him she was going to come to Equinox, our event, and speak about this. He spoke about SRA. And at the last minute, she pulled out and tried to convince Joe not to come and said that we were all Satanists.
You remember this?
Well, you remember, yeah. This was all part of the campaign against us when we last put on our event. Right, this was all hearsay, but now I've actually got it on a video where she's talking about us, saying that kids were running around covered in blood, with Baphomet t-shirts on at our event, apparently.
Raphomet, love.
But no one actually had the Baphomet t-shirt. I made it. Have you seen the t-shirt? I got the Baphomet and I turned it into like the rabbit
Jason
smoking.
Jason Arcex has got one. It's no secret. You go on a website and order one.
So anyway, she's literally, I've now got a video of this woman literally spouting all these lies, saying kids were running around with blood on their face, saying pray Satan at our event and stuff. Yeah,
fuck
mate.
Fuck me, I didn't see any of that.
No, well, no, I didn't see any of that. That was going on in the special arena. I've got the whole video of it now. And the thing is, this woman just looks like your average middle-aged Karen. And
the thing is, though, Lance, I've met more. Do you know what? Actually, I've met in Cambridge more compulsive liars than I've ever met in my life. And I literally said to my missus, it's like there could be something in the water. And then I started thinking, maybe there is something in the water.
I mean, there's plenty in the bucket.
All the politicians come from Cambridge. Maybe there's something to make people overconfident and bullshitting. I don't know. But what I mean is that that SRA is a perfect thing to go into if you're a compulsive liar, because you don't have to really prove anything. Yeah,
because the thing is, once you know what the buzzwords are and what the MO of SRA is, you have millions around the world on the internet of people that are ready to lap that shit up. Yeah. And listen to everything you say. No, of course it happens. This is the most disgusting thing.
And this brings us back to what we were talking about earlier with the people that are stuck in that fucking research. It's lazy research mode.
These people like her might genuinely have something happen to her. I've got no idea. But she's been proven to be a liar. She might be thinking that by making up these stories and helping to expose SRA, that she's helping the kids. Mm. She probably does think that. And that's how crazy it's getting. I don't think she's making any money out of saying that, you know, I was.
But like I said, my experience with compulsive liars is it doesn't matter. It's not about money. Because a normal human being lies for a few reasons. One is to make themselves look a little bit better. Another one is to get out of trouble. A compulsive liar, they just spin stories and they don't care. Yeah. And they don't, and I'm telling you from experience, they almost don't have any like vision of the future to see that it could actually trip them up in the future. So they'll just keep going. And if you confront
them... Boris Johnson's a prime example.
They shut down them. You know, if you actually confront them with facts, they close down.
I wonder if there's any correlation with those people that don't have the inner monologue with the compulsive liars. Because I know if I was in a situation and I was spinning a whole web of lies, my inner monologue be going, you're going to get fucked. This is going to come back and bite you in the ass. Shut up, Lance. Shut up. Stop talking. Yeah. It'd be like that. Really loud.
I looked into this and there's no real research on it. They literally put it down to like a childhood trauma or an actual knock on the head. But I've met people who just spout shit. You're
like, what? Mate, I've worked with a couple of people. Well, I ain't going to mention who or what.
If any of your colleagues listen to this, they'll be able to narrow it down.
They already think I'm a fucking weirdo, mate. They won't be listening to this. There's only two of us, right, out of a big team of like nearly 20 people who haven't had the
spears.
Sorry. The COVID injection. Can we say that on our Patreon?
Yeah. The COVID vaccine.
Yeah, the COVID vaccine.
Oh, that felt bad.
The COVID vaccine.
The COVID vaccine.
Only two of us out of 20, about 20.
You paid £3 a month just to hear us say that.
These lads, right?
I don't think I've ever said that.
No, me neither. They've told me stories, right? When we've been working or just having a fag, having a cup of coffee or two or whatever, they've told me stories that I've told them previously.
They're the best ones.
And I'm thinking to myself,
as if it's them doing
I've pulled two people up on this twice, and I've been like, hang on, mate. Like, when was this? Give me some more detail. And I was like, you remember I told you this exact same story? Like, and they just shut down immediately. Yeah. One of them went bright red in the face.
We used to have this kid, I say at school, we were about 16, 17. He was called. He called himself J.A. We used to call him Gay A because he was a fucking liar. But this kid was so bad, right? He would start telling you a lie, and you could, if you interject and go, "Oh yeah, I was pumping this white XRI Escort XRI 3 down the road," and I was like, "Oh, was it the one with those five spoke multi alloy wheels?" He's like, "Yeah, you've seen it." He's lying about a car that he'd stolen. This guy was so bad, you could guide his lies. Yeah. He would start spinning this stupid lie, like, oh, he got arrested. Why'd you get arrested? Oh, I beat up my bin man because he called me the N-word. He was racist. Mate next to me goes, well, we saw it. You've got to go to the police station because you ran a red light. We saw the green. Oh, fuck. Absolutely terrible.
I had a great one who said to me, it was my birthday, and he said, oh, yeah, and this was in Cambridge, and he said, oh, my birthday, you won't believe what my mum got me. I could. She said, go and have a look outside. I went outside, and it were a, what's Starsky Nutch's car? Is it a...
Trolled up, were it? Or anyway.
Anyway, he said
like
his
a Mustang or something like that.
Yeah, his mum had bought him an imitation of Starsky Nutch's car for his birthday. But you look, my son described it good when you get a compulsive liar. The trouble is with them, they're wasting your time, aren't they? Because what they're saying, they might be nice with everything else, but they're wasting your time telling you stuff. Because
the thing is, Chris, right, when like I've cut these lads out multiple times, and I've cut them out other times, and I haven't even said anything. But now, anything they comes out of their mouth, I just think, oh, shit.
Yeah, well, this is it.
You know, like, do you know what I mean? I just, like, anything.
Like said, Boris Johnson got caught lying loads of times, and then he ends up Prime Minister. But then you're supposed to believe it. You know what I mean?
That's brilliant in itself.
In a way, I've got a little bit more respect for old BJ, because when you hear him on TV, and he's sort of like building up his like pompousness, and you can hear the lie, at least you know that there's a fucking multi-billion pound agenda behind his stupid lies. He's got a real reason. He's got a real reason to do that.
Tell you what, mate, that dude knows exactly what he's doing. And exactly what persona he's putting on. Right, I've seen footage of him, right, a sly footage, literally you can see it on someone's flip, got their camera out their pocket, you can see like their hip and stuff, but filming him before he goes out on stage like to make a speech, right, he deliberately messes his hair up and shit that. Like that.
I saw him do that in Parliament.
It's very clever.
Before he got up to stand up, he went like this and shook
Up deliberately and he like deliberately like tie, waffles his tie down, and stuff. Makes himself look like a bit of an oaf. It's very clever.
They get the colour of the tie, you know, everything's scrutinised. So why would he get to come out with it down here and his shirt hanging out?
But it's so in the open, right? That again, we're talking about people who don't notice things, NPCs, but also certain people who have hung on to one thing. If you like what you were talking about, who are stuck, they don't notice that. They don't notice these people are still lying. Hmm. We're talking to a guy at my Young'uns football the other day. And he's talking about global climate boiling change. And he was saying, yeah, it's nonsense. Nonsense. And I said, yeah, but if you look at it, right, the pharmaceutical industry, we get poisoned by the food industry, then the pharmaceutical industry back it up by poisoning us again.
It's perfect,
oh, yeah,
isn't it?
That's true. Then his kid came off and said, should we go to McDonald's?
Retarded. I mean, and then you got, we're getting pissed on from the sky.
Yeah.
Should we talk about that? That's been like the peasantry on social media have been going
mental
about fucking shit in the sky.
So this was all obviously sparked off by Dubai.
Yeah.
I put a post like, oh, I almost want to get it because it's so good. It was something like, I wonder if all those peasant normies that have been scoffing at the white lines in the sky all these years are now at least going to spark some kind of inquiry that their favourite desert NPC holiday destination is fully underwater. I doubt it. Hashtag rise above. And this post did bits, like maybe a couple of hundred likes. There was like hundreds and hundreds of comments. But the thing is, and within a couple of days of it basically being admitted that Dubai has used cloud seeding, and they haven't said it in the mainstream media.
Newsflash, it's not just Dubai, motherfuckers.
But you know, even a peasant can put two and two together and see that they've overdone it, and now they've fucked things up. But there are already people with anti fucking geoengineering profile pictures. I've seen posts of people writing petitions to their MPs.
Yeah, they've admitted the petitions it. Asking their masters, please
take those white lines out the sky.
Please.
Whack it up to them.
Yeah, please.
It's too late.
I remember going to Dubai in 2019, right? And in the hotel, it had a newspaper. The front page says, and bear in mind, it's been hailstoning in Dubai. Japanese scientists cloud seed and make it hail for the first time in Dubai. That were on the front page. Most people in Dubai know that that the cloud seed in there,
and also in Dubai. If I've been to Dubai, there's in the shopping centre there's a dry ski slope that's got its own atmosphere inside it.
Yeah,
well, it's not dry; it's got snow.
Indoor mountain, isn't it? They basically got a mountain.
Yeah, it's got clouds that form.
They're basically flooded their own. They don't have any drains, hence why it flooded. Because if they have drains, all the sand goes into the drains and blocks them anyway. So they don't have any drains.
Well, this is the problems, first world problems, building a super.
I mean, who the destination fuck lives in the desert? Desert anyway.
I don't know. Sometimes, Andy, it might be better living there than here.
Why the fuck would you want to live in the desert?
Well, at least in Dubai, they don't have any like rainbow warriors. There's no woke bullshit.
No, none of that shit. Anyway,
I'm not talking about the culture. I'm talking about the physical location, the geographical location. Why the fuck would you want to live in a sandy desert where it never rains and you've got to make it artificially rain? Doesn't that tell you that you shouldn't really be there?
You know, per capita, they get through more water than anywhere else in the world in Dubai.
Mm. Really?
The amount of fountains, water features, swimming pools is per head, per capita, is through the roof. Because the population there, obviously the GDP is very high, the average earnings are very high, it's a rich place. The population density is fairly low. And they're a shitload. Basically, to show their wealth, if you're an Arab, you show your wealth by how many fountains you've got and water features. Because
but they've got massive desalination plants. They just use seawater and desalinate it, distill it. So
smart.
They've got they've got a place where they've just basically invented how to live a new basically 15-minute city.
I saw the most controversial comment from Tristan Tate the other day, and I'm going to repeat it because this is behind a paywall. It was about immigration, right? And he said, like, people think that most people are against mass immigration from the Middle East because they don't like Islam. He said it's nothing to do with Islam. He said it's to do with class and IQ.
Oh.
He goes, if you imported...
Highly controversial.
This is what Tristan Tate said, these words. He goes, if you imported... People complain about 10,000 people coming from Afghanistan, Iraq, etc. He goes, if you imported 10,000 people into the UK from Dubai or United Arab Emirates, they would increase the GDP, the crime rates would lower, and everything would generally be better. I thought that was a very controversial statement.
Wow.
I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just putting
let's get it out there.
Yeah, I thought that was
well, right. Also, Lance, when they talk about immigration, like you say, it's all right if, I mean, where I live in Cambridge, there's a lot of, in this area, there's a lot of foreign folk, Chinese people, and it's obviously because I'm near Addenbrooke's hospital, so the doctors and scientists and stuff like that.
Mm.
But isn't it funny that no one ever complains about that, do they?
No.
You know, they only complain about,
no one complains about the immigrants that come over and bring their family business and they're part of the community. No one complains about that. We don't mean those.
Because I remember in London, I remember reading a thing and it was saying that, you know, people, immigrant, what's your immediate thought of an immigrant? It's a dark-skinned person, you know, an illegal immigrant, should I say. But it was saying that a lot of illegal immigrants in London, this is going back 20 years, but a lot of them were South Africans, Kiwis and Australians. But no one ever says anything.
Yeah, people are staying their visas and literally staying.
Mm. I made a good joke today, by the way, before I forget. So we're on about bees and someone said, they mentioned Asian hornets. And Asian, they said, oh, not like them Asian hornets. And I said, coming over here, taking our stings. No one laughed. That was a cracking joke.
That was good.
Over here, taking our stings.
What I would say about immigration, we all know why immigration's happening all over the world, apparently. Something like 100,000 a month climate are going change. Into Australia. I mean, you know how tight it was going into, climate refugees. You know how tight it was getting into Australian places that?
Very difficult.
Now they've let 900,000 in a year.
Yeah, my cousin's over there at the moment. She's in her early 20s. Before, you had to have guaranteed work. You'd have to have a letter from
savings,
the company.
Whatever.
You'd have to, thousands in the bank, which, you know, she might have been able to sort that out, but it's like, nah, now you can just go and get a six-month visa, much like it is in Southeast Asia. When I went and lived in Thailand, I got a six-month tourist visa. I'm not going to lie. I was working every single day I was there, but I was on a tourist visa, and after the 6 months, I had to, you know, do some border crossings, do some visa runs to extend it for another 6 months. But that was like 6 to 8 border crossings every month or two to extend it. So, I've been pretty much, not visa overstay, but I've been in a legal work.
If you think about it, it's George Soros' sort of wet dream, isn't it? Because he's emptying third world countries. They're killing off people in the home country, i.e., let's just say Britain, So they're getting eradicated. They're getting sterilized. Yeah. They're bringing people in to fill the gap. The people that they're bringing in will do anything they tell them. Are told to do. They'll take any job.
They'll happily take medicine, social credit, no problem.
Exactly.
Yeah, no problem. No, you're totally right. That's what when people say about the clergy plan, right? And then they talk about the UN soldiers in the hotels.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's probably actually slightly more mundane than that. We might not be talking about terror cells. We're just probably talking about the Great Reset and just a population replacement.
100%.
The slow, methodical,
gigantic switcheroo. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, okay. There've been some,
and the UBI.
Yeah, yeah. But imagine if you're coming from a war-torn Middle Eastern or North African country, right? That's been absolutely smashed. By Western imperialism.
By the UN.
By the UN.
By the UN.
By the CIA economic hitmen, by the WEF. Yeah. You're literally getting absolutely butt-fucked from every direction.
And then you get a chance to move to a first world country.
Well, then things get so bad, you're told by some dodgy bastard, can you rustle up 3,000 euros? So you get 3,000 euros together. That's everything that your whole family owns. And all your extended family, you've got that 3,000 euros together, and you get there, and they shove you in an inflatable boat
in a dinghy
that you have to drive yourself. And there's like it's like three times as many people. And then when you get here,
a few of you die.
Yeah, you get put in a hotel.
As long as it's only a few, Ian, it doesn't matter.
And what you're not going to take UBI? You'll take UBI. You'll take the social credit score. What? Because you'll have a roof over your head. Why wouldn't you? Of course you will. Yeah.
And you know each one of those motherfuckers is definitely going to have a fucking COVID vaccine before they get into the UK as well.
So I feel like I've lost my COVID as well. Virginity there by saying that word. COVID.
I like it.
Yeah.
Oh, while we're on the subject,
the tongue, doesn't it?
While we're on the subject of the COVID vaccine.
No, it's not.
I am absolutely kicking myself. Because
for not having it.
Two or three days ago, I came across this article online that someone shared and said, and they very slyly just shared it. They shared a screenshot, and then they put the link in the comments, and they said, this is an interesting peer-reviewed article. And I read it. It was from some health authority. I can't remember what country it was. I'd never heard of them. But I looked through, it was all referenced properly with the scientists at the top. It had the hypothesis, the conclusion, the study and everything. And it was a study into the link between vaccines and gender dysphoria.
Yeah. Right. Does it surprise you?
No.
I actually think we spoke about this about 2 years ago on a presentation I did when we did it about IVF and stuff like that.
Now, I scanned through it in my amateur speed reading style that I've managed to do over the years.
The COVID vaccine, Lance, or just vaccines in general?
It was just vaccines in general.
I say vaccines in general.
Yeah, Dom said that before.
But the study was post-COVID.
Yeah.
And what it said was, in its opening statements, it said the one thing that's been holding this study back is the general consensus zeitgeist that after COVID, anti-vaxxers and sceptical people on the internet are blaming everything under the sun to do with the COVID vaccine. And that was actually written in the opening statements. They said about the general, philosophical pushback against even doing this study. Mm. And in a nutshell, I picked out a statistic that suggested that I think it was basically saying that someone that was mid-20s age that had been through all the scheduled vaccinations, including a COVID vaccine that they should have had by that age, it increases the chance of developing gender dysphoria by 15-20%.
You've only to look at a lot of the ingredients in these, especially these multi-jabs, that's 6-in-1s. We're going to talk about that in a bit, actually.
Cool.
A lot of them are cause hormonal changes, so it's no real shock there.
So you had people who've been tapped to hell thinking about it, and then you had the massive propaganda move agenda telling everybody, and TV shows and all that stuff. I watched a TV show last night.
What a great way to sterilize people.
Yeah. Perfect.
Brilliant. That with everything else. I watched a TV show on Netflix. Me and Miss just have something to eat. She said, we'll watch a bit of this thing. I forgot what it was called now. I could not believe I saw it, and it was actually quite good. It's about this woman stalking this guy. And then all of a sudden, he just goes on his computer and goes on finding a tranny, and then meets up with his tranny. Not even like this
is this on Netflix.
Yeah,
is it called Baby Reindeer?
Yes, that was it.
I haven't seen this yet, but I've been reading about it.
Then all of a sudden, he's just dating this He's a woman. I mean, what I'm saying is, it just popped into the story with. Do you know what I mean? No, no.
Well, Chris, do you know what we've found going back? I know we're talking about something slightly different, but it shouldn't shock us because we found two Crowleys hidden within society, that are distant relatives of Aleister Crowley. We mentioned one on the last one we did, a guy called. I forgot what his name was anyway.
Alex
Crowley, that's it, OBE.
That wasn't very far from Alistair. It's like, what's the nearest name I can choose to big granddad Al? Oh,
and we found another one as well, he's called Nathan Crowley, and he's
somebody confirmed that one, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah, he's confirmed. He's a production. Yeah, somebody emailed us and confirmed it because their friend used to be married to Nathan Crowley's brother, and they knew that... that it was a relation of Aleister Crowley. Anyway, he is the production. He's been nominated 6 times for 6 Oscars. He's been given a Saturn Award.
Of course, yeah. Saturn Award.
Right, you should look the Saturn Award up, right, for sci-fi films.
It's a sci-fi award, is it?
Yeah, sci-fi award. So, Chris knows better the films he's worked on.
He's basically the production designer for all Christopher Nolan's films.
Okay. So and, he's, and he's the game,
a, he, yeah, he's a yeah. third generation Crowler.
I'll put my hood up for this conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
As a cult leader.
But, and do you know something else that I found out? When we did the presentation, I did a full presentation on this. But so you've got Crowley there, then you've got Nolan, and there's two brothers are very famous, right? Nolan was the guy that did Oppenheimer. Yeah, and his wife.
Sorry, talk about Christopher Nolan. Is this a director?
Yeah.
He directed Oppenheimer. I didn't know that.
So
him and his wife now, there. She's Dame Nolan, and he's Sir whatever Baron Nolan. Right, they've been knighted and gonged and everything.
Of course.
Then his brother is Jonathan Nolan. He's got a $150 million deal with Amazon. And he's just done what film is it, Chris?
He's just done the Fallout series on Amazon.
So his brother did the nuclear weapon one, and his brother's just done a Fallout after the nuclear war. And listen to this.
In the Fallout show, they're all in. I don't know if you've seen it, you two, but they're in vaults after the nuclear catastrophe.
No,
and the main protagonist, they're in Vault 33. Believe it or not.
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah.
I've seen all the.
All the artwork this week that come out for it. I'm not a gamer, but I do play computer games, but I've never played Fallout. I've always looked at it.
Yeah.
And in the
game, they were in Vault 33.
Oh, right. So I did wonder when I saw that in the MSM this week when I saw the back of the bird.
Logo's got a nice little lightning bolt through it as well.
Sick.
Now listen to this one.
In that show, though, the graph, I haven't seen Oppenheimer, but I've been watching Fallout. It's pretty good, to be fair, but it's full of stuff. But they actually show the nuclear bomb go off more graphically than I've ever seen it in anything, actually. Even in Terminator 2, they show it go off, you know, and everyone running and, you know, quiet. But you've got the propaganda film, which is Oppenheimer, which just comes out in time for everyone talking about there could be a third world war and nuclear bombs. And then that one comes out. I mean, subconsciously scaring the shit out of everyone.
With all due respect,
I think so.
Everyone has been screaming, "Oh, World War III since
World War 33 started years ago, mate.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, no, but mainly since the Ukraine nonsense, and it really that's.
Well, we come on to your live one. I might do the presentation that I did at this one in Huddersfield. With these films. But listen to this one, right? This is where research, going back to what we were talking about before. When you looking at stuff, there's a third brother called Matthew Nolan, right? And he's got a bit of a sordid past. Matthew Nolan is an assassin stroke hitman. In real life. And in 2005, I'll go in more detail when we do the talk.
I'm looking forward to this.
He was wanted, right, by the Costa Rican government for the death of somebody in Costa Rica. Over this multi-million pound jewellery heist, right? And the American government wouldn't extradite him to Costa Rica, basically let him off. And guess what? Guess what name he went by? He didn't go by the name Matthew Nolan. He went by the name. This was in 2005, by the way.
Right.
2004. He went by the name of Matthew Oppenheimer.
No way.
Yes. Michael.
And this, I've got the court records. How fucking mad's that?
What does that mean? What's it about?
It's just,
I like it.
The more like and more, well, the more and
it's
more,
highly confusing.
Like real life is laced into like the mainstream peasant culture, and these reflections that we keep seeing. It, for me, it's just more evidence that this
of the Matrix.
Yeah, well, of the Matrix.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
The peasants first. I think yeah,
it's just a repeat, play, repeat, isn't it? Stuff. Just you always find these links to odd things that you just come across. Not necessarily, I can't really say they're by accident because you are researching it, but some of the information you're not expecting it. Let's be clear. I mean, I wasn't expecting it to be called.
I'm always surprised that sometimes I can still be surprised. Because do you understand what I mean by that?
Like, yeah.
Because obviously, the more and more you go into this stuff, it is about pattern recognition. Yeah. And I've often said that very openly that some of what people think is a really good dig or a really good speech that I've done was often just like reverse engineered intuition because you recognise the patterns of how things work so much.
Yes.
But even at this stage now, where we're like post-COVID, like 4 years now, where we're sort of in this like post-post clan world, are we pre or post-apocalyptic?
I'm not even sure anymore. We're right in it, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd say like middle apocalyptic, but like it's still good that we can be surprised by the sort of like synchronistic absurdity.
Mm.
That's good. Synchronistic absurdity.
Yeah.
I think that is a good, that is a good way to describe this sort of phenomenon we're talking about, I think, where, is it art imitating life or the other way around? Or like a figure of eight?
I mean, the odd thing is, there's only, again, I keep thinking this, there's only a small percentage of us who can see this 360 degree happening, all these little things that link together. Everything links together, doesn't it? As Human Vibrations calls them, templates, don't you? They all seem to link together, and the same plays being made all the time.
Yeah, and I'm really not sure whether it's actually a blessing or a curse to be able to recognise this stuff. I'm still
sometimes
like,
it's a blessing.
No, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. Like. The NPCs that we're I'm going to call them truther NPCs. I'm going to call them truther NPCs because they are, right? They can see what's going on, but they can't move past it.
Mm. Absolutely. That's a great way to put it. They can't move past it.
They're still absorbed in it, just in a different way to your fully mind-controlled NPC.
It's like being in a forest and looking at the trees, and every one of the trees is a different part of the, like, you know, the global conspiracy puzzle. But once you've really absorbed and you've spent enough time in that forest...
I'll just walk out the forest.
You have to get a helicopter and then look at the forest above.
Yeah.
And then you can see what it is.
Yeah.
And you until you've got that, it's very difficult to, and like to everyone, appreciate everyone, there's an end of the forest.
Everyone is always going on about, like, bringing down the system and you know, yeah. And, like, you know, all of that shit. And it's physically impossible, man.
At this stage, like, yes, it's funny. Yes. Like, it's there for a reason.
Yeah.
It's there for a reason.
Sometimes there is not a fucking answer.
Nobody does anything really to work around it. Like, and that's what I'm seeing. Like, we all know we're enslaved by money and all sorts of stuff. Yeah. Right?
No,
even
no
if we know it's bullshit,
9/11,
we're still bound to it.
No one,
right? We're still bound by it. Right? So
what did Chris say? No one paid for 9/11.
No, you just made me. I was thinking about it today. No one ever got done for 9/11. No one.
No.
How
long ago
was that, Chris?
23
years ago.
Yeah. Well, it's like, as a peasant, the best you could hope for as a peasant to try and change the world is to literally cause like a national or even a semi-global revolution. But even if you did that, what's going to happen? After one generation, they'll just take your face, put it on a T-shirt, sell it to other peasants, tell loads of lies about you, and then use you as a political tool to further the... It's like, guys, you just need to get over that.
Chris was saying the other day, somebody with Che Guevara T-shirt on, he said, oh, that's Che Guevara. He went, who's that?
Who
the fuck's that?
No, it's funny. That's the thing. In my humble opinion, only once you have spent enough time in that forest to be able to call the helicopter to go up and look at the forest, and you can see it, have a laugh at it. And now I think the stage of this discussion now is we can actually appreciate the Matrix for what it is.
This is magnificent.
It is fucking absolutely stupendously magnificent in what it is, the way it operates, and how it is actually managed to do what it's doing thus far, right? And if we are able collectively in our small little niche group here and other people that are listening to have the ability to see that almost from the outside, to observe it, to describe it, to have a good laugh about it, we should actually be very, very pleased about that, I think.
Yeah, and not only that, there's obviously a difference that, and whatever the difference is, and this is not me being optimistic or anything, it's just being observant, because they wouldn't spend so much time and effort trying to ridicule people that can see it. So there's obviously something that the machine is worried about. It's definitely ramped up. That the what would you call them, the fact checkers and what have you, are terrified of. I'm going to play it again, this video, Chris, because I want Lance and Andy to hear it. Have you heard that Jim Brewer interview with Roseanne Barr?
I'm not sure.
I love Roseanne Barr.
Yeah, you love her?
Yeah, she's awesome.
Right, I'm going to play it. I'll play this video. I'll just give us... Matt, it's quite a long, but it's about that's 4 right. minutes. About 4 minutes.
That's cheeky.
I think a long time ago, which really blew my first real introduction to show business, which was the greatest. It really was. It was the greatest. It was a all black show, and it was filmed in Harlem. It was called the Uptown Comedy Club. It was two guys. But I thought this is the way Hollywood was. These two guys, it was Kevin Brown and Andre Brown, they would sit us all down and they would talk like morals, spiritual, looking after each other. And I thought that was like, I fucking love show business. And I won't say which one, but I remember first hearing from a couple people there. Hey, did you know, we went to Hollywood and, did you know so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so? They were chicken hawking. I said, they all laughed and I didn't know what chicken hawking was.
What is that?
That is when, and they dress them up like girls. Huh. Right. So it's transvestites.
Coochie boys.
Correct. Right. And the three big names, they're big names. And one is still out there and he owns, because he's worth $1 billion, he owns teams and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't realize 2 years, I'm like, oh, shit. And then another guy started telling me about Puff Daddy and J-Lo. He's like, you know, J-Lo's gay. And this one's gay. And he's like the gay mafia. And this is all just a thing. And then you got to go to, and I was like, you guys, what are you talking about? And they're like, this is the way you get it, shit, and you got to do this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And that was my first introduction. I didn't believe any of it because it's too shocking. It's too shocking because we grew up with the persona of, and it's not just show business.
It's everything.
It's everything. And me and Chappelle at that time were very close, and me and him would talk shit for hours. And I thought he was way, way too far into it, but what he was saying was right on target too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why he left for a while, didn't he?
He's deep, deep, deep.
Yeah. At least that's what I was.
Well,
that's true, but.
But I'll put something out there that I don't know if he, we were filming a movie and he also had a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
From HBO and or not HBO, Comedy Central,
Comedy
and all this
Central,
shit, right?
The worst bunch of people on earth.
Horrid. He then, while he was on the show, when it was blowing up, and we remember the Aspen Comedy Festival? I don't know
yeah, that was fun. I did that too.
He came there and he was freaked out.
Yeah.
I said, what's going on? And all I could say is, he was visited.
Yeah, that's what shit. I think too.
And when he told me who visited him, my heart stops for a second. Oh, I'm like, get the fuck. And I'll never forget. He went, "You believe me, right? You believe me, Jim, right?" And I could. He's like, "They came to me," and he said the names. I'm like, get the fuck. And what happened? And then all of a sudden, he went to Africa.
Yeah, that's what I remember happening. But they never really said what happened. Were you threatened? I mean, I don't know how much you want.
I don't
you
have.
Can't, you can't.
I can, that's none of my business. Okay. But I know for a fact.
He was corrected.
He said, correct.
Yeah.
He was, hey, by whoever it was. Mm-hmm. Hey, we need to have a conversation. Would you like some of your own coffee in your house?
What?
Yeah. Like that heavy shit. And that's the first time, you know, I would. And so when I saw him come back, it was a lot less communication, and maybe he just grows, whatever. But I can honestly say, and maybe I'm crazy for, and I am crazy for saying this. Mm-hmm. When I saw him completely come back, I really questioned if that was him.
Yeah, I know, right? I think
that, and I know that's really crazy.
I think those same things, yeah.
I will grow old, then I will die. I'll be a part of the oceans and sky. When I was young, before my of the oceans and skies.